We welcome your presence and just
praise.
Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our life. And as we enter the next session, we ask you to continue to move. Continue to speak. Guide us. Fill us. Touch us. Whatever you want to do, Lord. We don't want to miss this visitation. So we give ourselves to you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, sometimes being a prophetic person is difficult. Because your time comes. But the Lord is still speaking. So I know our next speaker is receiving something. So I know I don't need to do a big introduction. Because I think all of you or most of you have seen Kim before. Many of you have met her husband, Greg. They are dear friends of ours. They run a ministry called Equip Nations. We've been privileged to minister with them many times since 2018. And Kim is also on the board of elders for Sozo. So she's one of my bosses. So if you ever have a problem with me, you can report to her. She knows how to use a cane. But I'm very happy to have them here. And I know the Lord has something in store. So I don't know who's speaking or if both are speaking, I don't know. But they'll tell us what the Lord's doing.
It's so good to be home. It's been too long since we've been back to Uganda. And we have missed you so much. It's time we brought a team with us. So we've come with many. These people have been a blessing. They are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they minister so well. In the last week since we arrived, they see many salvations, many healings, and many deliverances. They are anointed, and so you can know that you are in good company.
Amen.
I'm just so glad to be seeing all your faces again. For those of you who don't know me, as Pastor Scott said, I'm Kim. And this is my wonderful husband, Ray. It's very wonderful. I like him a lot. But before I can this afternoon. He has the word from the Lord. So I'll let him tell you what English is for you and what's the word.
Thank you. It is so great to be here. It's the second home for us.
It's
been great to meet like new family members, new brothers and sisters. Thank you for your warm reception. I felt like the Lord reminded me of something concerning that
day.
Oh, I forgot one thing. So, Jackie shared about the prayer Bible, how to pray a certain way. And I know we've been training the same model and we teach the same
model.
But sometimes it doesn't work exactly like planned and we're then rely on
horse. So
when I was here once, I've been here twice, but I was here once before we had an outdoor meeting. And we prayed for many people with no translators. And just to show how good the Holy Spirit is, the next day there were testimonies given. And this one man pointed at me and said, "That old white guy delivered me of a demon last night." And I had no clue. So it was completely the Holy Spirit. So back to adoption. I want to. There was a study done once about adopted children. And they looked at the stories of many, many children who were young home to
families.
And they found out that those children began to take on the nature of the new parents. Found out that the newly adopted children began to take on the nature of the new parents. They developed their behaviors, their likes, their dislikes, their attitudes, their characteristics. And sometimes even physically, they begin to look a little bit like their new parents. So as orphans, they had no family identity. But when adopted into a family, they were given a family identity. And a change took place. A transformation. They became a new person. Almost like they were born again. So it's interesting how there are parallels in the physical and the spiritual. So before someone accepts the Lord, they are an orphan. But when they do accept the Lord, they're adopted into the family of God. Amen. They're born again and they become a child of God. And they need to grow and mature. So what is our part in this as leaders? We help facilitate Ephesians 4:11. Some are given as apostles. prophets, pastors, teachers, and for the building up of the body of Christ, the maturing of the body of Christ. So we as leaders need to make sure those giftings are used for the equipping and maturing
saints.
So I just want to encourage you all on this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How many of you know that you are a gift, the body of Christ? Well, you
have been taught
one of because you've been given as a gift to the body of Christ. I want to talk to you. I believe the Lord wants to talk to you. About his call on your life. And the vision that he's given you. Now, some of you in this room have been given a vision. And some of you have taken up someone else's vision and you're carrying that. How many of you have a vision that the Lord's given you? Well, what I believe that the Lord wants to talk about is that vision, the call. And I want to kind of to jump back into talking about Moses a little bit. So, this, you've been hearing about identity. It's important to the Lord that you know who he is so that you can know who you are. Many of you, when you introduce yourself, are you acknowledging your father before you? Particularly for the men. When you introduce yourself and you give your name, is it, am I accurate that you bear your father's name? Is that right? Okay. So the same is true with God. When you're adopted into the family, you take on his name. You take on his character. You identify with him. And you look like him. And he sends you out with a purpose so that you can help him fulfill his plans in the earth. He doesn't call you for you. He doesn't look at you and me and say, oh, she's so special. Or he's so good. I think I'll use that one. The Bible says he uses
He chooses the mean and despised things in the world. So we have to remember that when the call of God comes, it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with God and the people to whom he's called us. So we want to look at Moses. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 3. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness. And came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire. A fire from the midst of a bush. Moses looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. Yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. He wanted to know why this bush was burning but was not consumed. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Has God gotten your attention? Maybe I should ask, when is the last time that God got your attention? When is the last time that God did something and you were amazed? And we take teams all over. And one time there was one of our team members. And God used him in miracles all the time. He had seen many blind eyes open, deaf ears open, the lame walk. Really big miracles. And in one service, I was on one side of the room and he was on another. And I heard him yell. And I turned to look. And he is jumping in the air. Very excited. And so I knew something good had happened. And when I went to him and I asked, I said, what happened? And he said, this leg grew out this much. Now that's a pretty special healing, if that's you. But in my mind, I didn't think that was as big a miracle as blind eyes and deaf ears. And I said, you've seen all of these amazing things. What made you so excited about that lake? And he said, I've never seen a lake grow out before. When is the last time that God amazed you? When is the last time you stood before a burning bush that was not consumed? I think sometimes we need to return to our burning bush. If you are a vision bearer, if God has spoken to you and said, this is what I have in store for your life, I hope that today you will remember that vision. Because God wants to stir that up in you again. He wants to refresh that. In your mind, yes. But in your heart. He wants to stir up compassion for his people again. Because many times, we can get busy with everything that we are doing every day. And we're still working, doing the work of the kingdom. But the reason we're doing it somehow gets left behind. And we find ourselves just walking the walk, thinking that we're doing the work. And it doesn't please the Lord. So the Lord wants to stir that in you today. Because I believe he's pleased with your obedience. And he's pleased with your willingness. And he's ready to continue this journey with you. But he wants to know. Do you want him to go with you? Or have you forgotten that you need him? It's easy to do when we don't expect it. So let's look at Moses again. Moses sees the bush. God begins to speak to him. And he says, Moses, I want you to deliver my people. I see the oppression that they're under. I've heard their cries. And I want you to go. Be the deliverer. Do you remember Moses' reaction? Moses had lots of questions. And God answered his questions. But then Moses decided that he knew more than God. They said, oh, I don't speak eloquently. I'm not qualified. God, you can't possibly know what you're doing. I know better than you. And you should choose someone else. And God was able. But he still wanted to use Moses. And so the end result was that he sent his brother to be his mouthpiece. So when we read about Moses and Aaron going before the Pharaoh, and it, the Bible says they spoke, or Moses spoke, what was actually happening was Aaron was the one doing this. Because Moses now had God's ability to know who he should choose. Most of you are sitting here because you accepted the call. God said, come do this, and you said, I'm on it. But there's some of you that said, I'll just follow the duty. But you have a call. You've had a burning push. And now you're following a leader. And you've been good with that. Because you know you're a leader too. You've been an Aaron. That you're really supposed to be a Moses. The frustration that you've been feeling is because God is calling. God is saying, I'm still talking to you. And today, maybe it's time to have a conversation. Maybe it's time to talk to your leader and find out how you're supposed to move into your call. Because there's a grace. The body of Christ does not divide. It multiplies. When you see division, something's being broken off. But where you see multiplication, you see God at work. That was free. That's not what I was even talking about. So God calls Moses. He tells him, this is who I am. This is what I want you to do. Moses asked a lot of questions. And God answered him. Are you all familiar with this story? Because we can read through it if we need to. But if everyone's familiar, we can go from that place. Is there anyone who's not familiar with the story of Moses? Okay. So, further in this chapter of Exodus, what we see is that Moses had to know who sent him. You have to know who's called you and who sent you. Moses had to go stand before the king of Egypt and say, the great I am has sent me here. He had to stand before the elders and say, the great I am sent me. But we also have to know why he sent us. We've read that God sent Moses because he heard the cry of his people. And he wanted to deliver them from bondage. We have to be willing to do our part. We know that God does the work. But for whatever reason, he's chosen to use us. So his will is accomplished when we do our part. So Moses had to go to Egypt. He could not accomplish the call of God on his life. He could not see the vision fulfilled in his life unless he left Midian, walked away from shepherding, left his family, and went to Egypt. Be willing to do your part. We have to step out. We have to prepare for the wilderness. God told Moses, when you go to Pharaoh, tell him that I sent you, and my people need to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness so that they can sacrifice to the Lord. And we know that 3 day journey into the wilderness turned into 40 years. We have to prepare for the wilderness. When God gives you a vision, there's going to be a wilderness. You have to know the challenges that you will face. God told Moses, you're going to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And I will harden his heart. And he won't let them go. God hardened his heart. And he told him why. Because he wanted to display his glory through Pharaoh's rebellion. Too many times, we're walking out our calling. We get in the middle of our vision. And we encounter challenges. And we think we're doing something wrong. But the real problem is, we didn't stay in the presence of the Lord long enough to hear him say, these are the challenges. This is what I'm doing. And this is why I'm doing it. We just hear him say, go, and we run. We have to stay in his presence. We have to find out what he's doing. Because he didn't call us so that we can just take off on an adventure. He called us because we have an assignment to deliver people from bondage. It's not about us. It's not about us having a good time. It's about setting people free. And we'll do well to not forget. So you have to know the challenges. But you also have to know that God will fight for you. With every challenge in that 40 years in the desert, we watch God fight for his people. With Pharaoh, it was the plague. And the last plague, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, he get to this place. There's the desert on one side, the mountains on the other side, the sea in front of them, the Pharaoh's coming behind them. They're feeling hemmed in. It looks like they're going to be destroyed. They can't win this fight. And the people begin to mumble and murmur and complain. The people begin to say, God, who sent you to deliver us, brought us out here to die. But Moses knew God had something planned. He couldn't exactly tell the people what, but he had to hear the Lord in that moment. And when the Lord said, go forward, keep walking, don't stop. Stop looking at the ocean in front of you. Stop being concerned about all of the things around you. I did not bring you out here to die in wilderness. He's saying, look at me. See what I will do. And that day, their enemy was destroyed forever. God opened the Red Sea. Moses led the people through on dry ground. When the Egyptians followed, God closed the ocean over them. And they never had to fight that day. God will fight for you. You have to remember the challenges. God will fight for you. He didn't. I have a friend. And this is what she says. God did not bring you this far to only bring you this far. He has a destination. This is it. I will fight for you. You have to expect the favor of people. You remember before they left Egypt, all of the women were instructed to go and get all the jewelry from the Egyptians. They were instructed to go and get anything of value. And they plundered Egypt without fight. The slaves went out So expect favor from the people. As you're doing that, you have to teach the people that you're leading how to do their part. Moses had to do his part. But the Israelites had to do their part. When God said, go plunder the Egyptians, go ask for everything of value, they had to do that. God wanted to make them rich. But they could not sit in their house and do nothing. You have a vision. And you need provision. But if you sit still and wait for God to put it into your hand, you'll still be waiting when Jesus comes back. You'll never fulfill the call on your life waiting. There's a time to wait. You wait in the secret place. You get instruction. And then you have to go and do it. I had a friend. She's an intercessor. I love her. And she's always talking about believing God. She's living on faith. She's trusting God to meet her needs. It's very rare that she ever hears a word. She spends a lot of time praying for people. But she never seems to hear from the Lord about what she needs to do to gain her own provision. God says He gives us the power to make wealth. She also can't hear because of the body of Christ. When other people say, what about this? What about this? Here's something you could do. Here's something that would bear fruit. Oh no, God didn't tell me to do that. We need to be able to recognize when the Lord is speaking to our brothers and sisters around us. We have a part to play. The calling that she has from God as an intercessor, I fully believe is the call of God on her life. But her provision requires her participation. Teach the people who follow you how to participate with God and to be willing to do their part. So backtracking a little bit, I got a little excited. Before Moses left Midian, he wasn't sure how God was going to prove he was God. So Moses asked God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? That I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt. And the Lord said, certainly I will be with you. And this is the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. And their conversation goes on. And they come to the place. Moses said, what if they will not believe me? What if they won't listen to what I have to say? They might say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord simply looked at him, or simply said to him, what is that in your hand? Moses said, a staff. What is it that you have in your hand that God wants to use so that you can bring his people out of bondage? What would Moses' staff do to help accomplish the mission? The Lord said, throw it down. It did. It became a snake. The one said, pick it up by the tail. I don't know much about snakes. But I know if you pick one up by the tail, that's a bad plan. Unless God tells you to. The Lord was showing Moses through the staff, and he told them, put your hand in your garment and take it out. And when he did, it was leprous. And he told her to put his hand back in again. And he took it out and it was clean. God was telling Moses, miraculous power will be the testimony. Miracles will be the witness that I sent you. Don't doubt the wisdom of God who calls you. He's put everything in place. And if you're sitting here today and you've been wondering, have I missed something? God, did you really call me to this? There are all these challenges. Go back to the secret place. Go back to your tent of meeting. Remember the vision that he gave you. Remember the promises that he made. Remember what he told you would happen. Encourage yourself. You can face the enemy and the people of God. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil.
You
and I are here to do the same. It should be fun. Sometimes it's hard. But that's on purpose. We can trust God through the process. Because He really, really, really will destroy the oppressor. He really will deliver His people through your
hands.
He's called you to do this. He's given you a vision. And you can fulfill it. You just have to remember that this is the will of God. It's His plan. And His plan has a purpose. It's not your plan. It's not my plan. If it's our plan, it's going to fail. But if it's the plan and purpose of God, He can never fail. And He's God. He chose you and I because He knows the end from the beginning. He knew who you were when He called you. And He knows who He is in you. We should get excited. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead not only lives in us, but He works through us. On your journey, remember to return frequently to the tent meeting. Moses could withstand all of the challenges because he kept going back to the Lord. Humility will bring you back to the presence. A desire to have the Lord go with you will keep calling you back to your tent of meeting. When we find ourselves not going back to the tent of meeting, we walk on dangerous ground. Because there's an arrogance. There's some pride that we didn't want, that we didn't ask for, that we weren't seeking. But what happens is that what we're really saying in our heart is, God, I don't need you. Thank you for the vision. I'll take it from here. And we will fail. We cannot complete the call of God. And His presence does not go with us. In the U.S.,
America,
we have watched many of our ministers fall. Sexual sin. Financial sin. Relational sin. God was still doing many wonderful things in their ministries. Because God's word does not return void. He honors his word. And in his name, the authority of his name, there's power. That's why there are false prophets. The false teachers. They can do signs and wonders. Because God, Jesus, the name of Jesus, is what has the power. In their hearts, they fail. But God never fails. His word never fails. So we have to be careful. That we're always returning to the tent of meeting. Just before it was time to go into the promised land. Moses got a little arrogant. How many of you have read this story? You know why Moses did not get to go into the promised land? He had fulfilled his call. Did you ever notice that God called Moses to deliver his people from Egypt? He didn't call him to take them into the promised land. Yeah, we all believe. I believe he was supposed to take them into the promised land. But that's not what it says. He was a deliverer. But the reason, now there are many reasons, I think. But just before they went into the promised land, the people were crying out for water again. And the Lord told Moses, speak to the rock, and it will give you water. Now before, if you remember, God told Moses to strike the rock. And when he did, the Lord gave him water from the rock. But now we're later down the road. Been there and done that. I know how this works. We call out the rock. Hit the rock. We get water. Right? We come in. We jump and shout, praise the Lord. We worship. We hear the message. The power of God falls into place. And we've had a real good feel good time. We know how to do it. We don't need to hear God. He told us yesterday how to do it. The Lord told Moses, speak to the rock. And Moses struck the rock.
Musa, now.
God gave the water. And the people drank. But Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. In his pride, he rebelled against the Lord. I don't know about you, but I feel sorry for Moses. The people you gave me, he lost his compassion for the people. the man who used to intercede with the Lord. The man who used to pray that God would not destroy this people. Has become irritated and angry with them. He's no longer praying for the people that God gave him. Now, he's mad, and he's going to give them what they want. God satisfied their thirst. God satisfied their thirst. But Moses missed the promised land. Lord, if you don't go with us, they'll take us from this place. We don't want to go if the Lord isn't with us. And he's not going to go with the stubborn and obstinate people. As leaders, I want you to fulfill the call in your life. He gave you the vision. And you began to run with that vision. With excitement and zeal. You were with God. And you knew God was with you. You shared the vision with everybody that you met. Some people encouraged you. The people that did not. You went, I know what God promised you. And today, you look at the ministry that God has given you. I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. I want you to think about the people that God's called you to. I want you to remember the vision that God gave you. Remember where you were when he called you. Remember your morning lunch. Remember the vision. Remember the love and the compassion in your heart. She would go anywhere. Do anything. To touch one life. To see one people, one person encounter the Lord. I want you to think about the challenges. Sometimes we're not prepared for the challenges. If you started running this race, as Paul says, and you didn't get all the information. If you started running with the vision, Boring her about all of the challenges. I want you to know that there's grace. God is good. If you go back to your tent of being, you can lay your head on his shoulder. And you can say, Papa, this is hard. Renew my compassion. Renew my love. Teach me again. How do I leave
you?
How do we face these challenges? What do you want to do with the staff that's in my hand? Lord, if your presence does not go with me, I will not go from here. Leaders, the Lord loves you. He's called you for a purpose. He so wants to be with you. He longs for your presence. He's not angry. He's not disappointed. He's calling you today. Do you hear me? Are you willing to step aside again? Are you willing to build a tent of meeting outside the camp? Are you willing to leave the busyness of the work? To get alone in his presence again. And I believe today that many of you are going to step into a new era. The Lord wants to refresh you today. He wants to stir up the gifts and the vision again. I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I want you to ask the Lord, will you give it again? Or if you've never had a vision of the Lord, I mean a vision like his call on your life. Ask him. Lord, show me what you want me to do. So whether you need to hear it for the first time, or you need to hear it again, ask the Lord. Show me. Show me again. Speak to me. Sing to me again. Going to pray for you. And I believe that many of you, are going to begin to feel the presence of the Lord. If you begin to feel a heavy weightiness, it's okay to sit down or kneel down. Some of you may get teary and start to cry. You may begin to feel heat. Like your whole body gets hot. Or maybe just your hands or a part of your body. You may begin to tremble. As the Lord ministers to you, begin to ask Him for more. Some of you, you've been walking faithfully. And the words you've heard today are encouraging. But you've been in the secret place. And you've been faithful to the call. And today, the Lord's going to show you the next step. He wants to encourage you. So receive. Holy Spirit, I asked you to come. Speak to your people. But I thank you for fresh vision. I thank you for renewing hope. Lord, provide new strength. Lord, stir up the gifts and the calling. And remind them of your perfect love. Call them into the secret place again. Come, Holy Spirit. Some of us are going to come around and begin to and bless what the Lord is doing. It's time for you to just receive from the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.